all around the world.
All the way from Hanover, Ohio.
It's irresistible.
A magnetic pull to it.
Freedom from a toxic gospel.
A sold-out fellowship.
This is X Radio. Spiritual pornography for your ears.
I can't believe that guy said that. That kind of hurts my feelings.
It is the year 2009. Across the country and across the globe, a false gospel perpetrated by the International Churches of Christ and International Christian Churches continues to propagate. In its way, among many other things, is this podcast, X Radio, Spiritual Pornography for Your Ears. Hey, this is X Ray, and I welcome you again to the year 2009, as hopefully we'll have a lot of great shows this year. The first one is going to be quite a doozy. It's actually going to be a guessing game here for the first part. So before we roll into that, we have a word from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
You've sung these songs in the kingdom for years, but you've never quite sung them like this.
In the kingdom, one by one, in the kingdom, we will stand in the kingdom side by side.
Now, for a special limited time, Blaunock Studios proudly presents the Songs of the Kingdom remixed and redone by the one and only William Shatner.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down,
it's all your kingdom favorites.
Captives came into Zion from their freedom. King was king. While their city lay in ruins, we believe they had a dream.
Be the first in your Bible talk to own it. Order now.
Mr. Spock, he was a soldier. Put his hand to the gospel plow. Yes, he did. One day he got old. He couldn't fight anymore. But he got up and fought. Anyhow, whoa.
Brothers and sisters, order this exciting collection now. Please send 17 times your regular contribution to William Shatner Sings the Songs of the Kingdom, P.O. Box 371-219, Fairdale. Remember, 10% goes to Hope Worldwide Overhead. Don't delay. Order today, or we'll bring this up at your next discipling time.
Give a high five to the one next to you. Ha la 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 la. Lay lu. Yeah.
This is X Radio.
And thanks to the folks on the ICOC Delphi forum for inspiration for that preceding commercial announcement. All right, now to the main topic of the program. I have obtained a sermon given by a campus minister in one church, given to another campus ministry at a smaller church. And the title of this show is called Name That Campus, and that is your job out there for the people listening to this podcast, is to figure out who the guy, the campus minister, is preaching, what city he's from, and what city they're preaching in, the campus ministry. And also to make things a little bit more interesting, I'm not going to tell you if it's part of the International Churches of Christ or International Christian Churches. It could be either. So kind of as a cheat sheet, if you guys remember the first podcast with Mike Patterson, there are going to be a whole lot of parallels between both. Remember, fundamentally, the ICOC and the ICC are fundamentally still the same organization, and hopefully in this podcast we'll continue to underscore that. So let's kick it off with our campus minister, see what he says up front.
And I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, amen? I love saying that.
So obviously this campus minister is either a member of the International Churches of Christ or International Christian Churches, saying he loves to be a disciple. And also notice in the background this kind of small but very zealous group of campus students he's preaching to. And in fact, that's his focus for this sermon that he's going to preach.
But I'm going to target the college students and the singles and those who are young in heart. Amen. Can I hear the young in heart? All right.
So he's targeting the college students here. Apparently they're having a Bring Your Neighbor Day, or should I say Bring Your Fellow Campus Student Day. And also notice how he kind of works up the crowd so they'll be more easily open to accept the message he's going to deliver. This is a common dynamic in a lot of ICOC and ICC preaching.
This weekend for the campus service is change yourself, change the world. Love that title. If you're a college student today or you're young in heart, you got to love that title. It is radical. It's daring. It's the kind of statement that you will hear from the college environment. Amen?
It's radical. It's daring. And it's also has been repeated before. If you remember the first show we did, the Upside Down Revolution with Mike Patterson out in Phoenix, Arizona at Arizona State, he made some very similar claims. Also, we noticed the focus is changing yourself. This is another common dynamic of both the ICOC and ICC where you have to change yourself in order to change the world. It's not about someone developing and falling in love with and growing with a relationship with Jesus Christ and having a walk with them and having the world change that way. It's changing yourself first so then you can be good enough to follow God and do His will. And then you can change the world. And speaking of other common themes,
the word revolution is strong, and that's why I want to use it today. It's the kind of word that either makes people's hearts shake in excitement, which I hope a lot of us here are, or tremble in fear or paranoia. If you're in position of people turning you over.
Notice the term revolution being another common theme for other ICOC and ICC campus sermons. We've heard this with Mike Patterson on the Upside Down Revolution podcast I did a couple of months ago. Also notice that this campus minister also gives us kind of a default feeling. For example, if you're a disciple and you're a member of the church and you're good with God, then when you hear the word revolution, you're supposed to have a positive, good, shaking feeling vibe within you. But on the other hand, if you're not, you're supposed to have some type of dark, deep paranoia about you. Notice this manipulation, and this manipulation continues.
If you are not willing to give up someone or something you so love, you will be challenged.
Here's another common theme of giving up everything, giving up your friendships, giving up any romantic involvement you may have with someone, giving up relationships with your family. And also giving up other things like your possessions and your time, ultimately, to the church and how they see it most fit. He doesn't explicitly say that, but again, I pointed that out as a common theme before. And in fact, he kind of drills into this a little bit more later on in the sermon. And you're not only supposed to give up physical, tangible things.
If you are very fixed on your own opinions of Christianity and are unwilling to surrender your stubborn ideas and prejudices, whether you consider yourself a Christian or a non-Christian, then you will find yourself living your life in uncertainty, fear, and insecurity as you continue your gray and foggy way of living. This applies to disciples too.
He also says that you're supposed to give up your prejudices and opinions about Christianity, whether you think you're a Christian or not. Now, ironically, both groups, the International Churches of Christ and International Christian Churches, had an opportunity almost 6 years ago when one of the high-level leaders named Henry Crete wrote a letter exposing all the problems with the system, the church system. Note that Kit McKean was out of power at this point, and the church, still unified church at this time, had an opportunity to change. But from what we can tell from people who are inside and people who have come out in the last several years, such as myself, things have not fundamentally changed. The systemic evil is still there, except we're now dealing with two groups. One that is loyal to Kip in the old ways, and one that's kind of wishy-washy and trying to find their own way, keep Kip's doctrines, but leave Kip out. So again, I think it's very ironic he talks about giving up those mindsets of prejudices when, if this guy is part of the ICOC or ICC, his group has not done that.
Christianity is black and white, brothers and sisters. It is light and darkness. It's go or no go. Jesus made it very clear.
Our campus minister here is reinforcing that, yes, Christianity, there is a narrow way. But What he doesn't tell you is that the special interpretations, what they make with the gospel, make their way the only way. Again, no other group requires quote-unquote unmistakable repentance where you're supposed to do works and deeds in order to continue studying the Bible so you can get saved. No other group requires you to accept their discipling system in order to be saved. No other group requires you to know these things before you can receive the gift of baptism and become saved.
Just as God is all about change, as evidenced earlier, so Christianity is about change. The main character of Christianity is the Holy Spirit. And that's why I inserted it in the thesis. Die to yourself and let the Holy Spirit revolutionize the world.
Notice he brings up the topic of change again. And change is an important component of Christianity, but it's more than just change that makes Christianity what it is. Also notice that he also starts to bring in the topic of the Holy Spirit. Now, the teaching about the Holy Spirit in both the ICOC and ICC churches is very, very light. And the Holy Spirit is kind of mysterious. And we'll see some kind of, I believe, some very disturbing, incomplete, false teachings about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit over here in the next few clips, such as this one.
What is the Holy Spirit? In essence, it is Jesus in the Spirit, isn't it?
Yep.
Wait a minute. This guy just said that the Holy Spirit is Jesus in the Spirit? That really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Both the ICOC and the ICC churches are Trinitarian. They teach that there is one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit make up God. Now, I don't believe that he violated, he didn't say anything anti-Trinitarian when he said that the Holy Spirit is Jesus in the Spirit. But still, that is just confusing and just pushes off the topic and the real power of what the Holy Spirit does in a Christian's life. Okay, here's some more about the Holy Spirit, according to our campus minister.
The Spirit is really in him. When you hear filled with the Spirit, and really you're hearing filled with Jesus, filled with God.
There he goes again, muddying the waters. I can say that if one is filled with the Spirit, you can be filled with God, or you can be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. But again, it sounds like he's really twisting and manipulating the Holy Spirit's personhood, which he so deserves as God has revealed himself to us in that way. Now, the big thing, I don't think he's purposely teaching false doctrines about the Holy Spirit. I think he's trying to maybe unintentionally even twist the doctrines of the Holy Spirit so that he can get away with some other teachings, such as this one.
Jesus actually gives instructions to the Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 2. His instructions were simply in a nutshell, to change the world by presenting Christianity in its true form.
All right, let me go to BibleGateway.com, look up Acts chapter 1, verse 2. In the NIV, it says this, "Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." Okay, so Jesus did give instructions to the Holy Spirit. That's correct. But here's where I have the problem. Nowhere does it tell us what Jesus' instructions were. In addition, it doesn't even tell us that his instructions were to tell the apostles to present Christianity in its true form. Now think about that. That would imply that for some people out there, Christianity has not been presented in its true form. And of course, the true form in this campus minister's perspective is the McKeenist gospel version of the gospel. Now that this campus minister has completed his talk in the sermon about the Holy Spirit, he's going to get back to more familiar waters to him.
It is all about turning one's way of life upside down, inside out.
Again, he reiterates that Christianity is about turning one's life upside down and inside out, which means you have to do it on your own power, using your own works, using your own deeds, and not just a simple nip and tuck here and there. It is a radical transformation. Now, a true Christian conversion experience is radical in a lot of senses, but what the McKeenist gospel and the ICOC and ICC are looking for are radical outward changes, repentance by your deeds, and then you're worthy enough on your own works and your own power to be saved. And now he moves on to another familiar topic.
After he resurrected from the dead for 40 days, his primary subject was the kingdom of God. Read it. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. That was the only thing he talked about, was the kingdom of God.
Remember that in the International Churches of Christ and International Christian Churches, the kingdom of God is completely and utterly equivalent to the visible church on earth, which means a visible church that matches their gospel, which basically means them. Notice that I also read Acts chapter 1, verse 2, and nowhere in that verse does, as this campus minister claims, Jesus talked continuously and totally about the kingdom of God for the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension. Now, Jesus did discuss that in other places, but he's basing that off the wrong verse. Now, another tricky mindset with this cult is that in their very first study they set you up with, they read out to you about the Bereans in the book of Acts and say that, hey, if we're doing anything wrong, go back, like the Bereans, go back to what we say and what the Bible says, and if it doesn't match up, we'll change. Well, it's just a pipe dream, folks, because it usually doesn't work out like that. You have to follow their interpretations, and if even you get to a point where they're threatened by what you find out by being a Berean, then you're kicked out of the church.
It is a story waiting to be relived again and again and again by idealistic, faithful men and women who dare to follow the world's greatest revolutionary, Jesus Christ.
The campus minister just quoted out of a book called Revolution by Gordon Ferguson. Gordon Ferguson is a International Church of Christ, an elder evangelist, kind of a high-level guy who's was really part of the inner circle when Kent McKean was really running the show. He quotes Gordon Ferguson's take on Pentecost, when thousands of people became Christians in one single day. And this idea of rapid church growth like that. Where have we heard it before? Oh yeah, we heard it back at the Upside Down Revolution with Mike Patterson and what he's trying to do at Arizona State. And who can take on this mighty task? A group of 12 Jewish guys following Jesus for 3 years? Of course not, in their perspective. It has to be a group of idealistic young people. And where can we find these idealistic young people?
I believe that there is no perfect place in this world, no matter what country or geographical location, that can best exercise this spiritual revolution than the college and university platform. I believe that. I was there. The colleges are filled with young, faithful Sterlings, and Joels, and Jacobs, and Rajans, and so many of you guys. Idealistic minds and hearts. And if you are a college student here, my prayer is that this message will impact your heart, but moreover, revolutionize your mind. Amen?
That's right. The college campuses. Most of the ICOC high-level and mid-level leadership in its churches were converted in college campus ministries. And they also provide a bulk of the financial support to keep the churches going. So it's no wonder they're heavily targeting college campuses. Because the idealistic, zealous college campus students provide the glue that keeps the ICOC and ICC churches going. And I believe the next clip from this campus minister proves my point.
You know, a lot of these disciples right now are doing great things for the church. You know, a lot of them are teen workers right now, helping teens. I've seen a lot of teens get baptized from the college, from the camp, graduates from college. I've seen a lot of college graduates have become married and are now starting and formulating a new ministry called the Young Marriage Ministry. Two of these married couples who came from the campus ministry are now leading churches. You know, do you want to be used by the Holy Spirit? Do you? He's hovering, waiting to use you.
So once you're done with the campus ministry, you move on. You can become a teen worker. You can work with teens, primarily by making them into disciples, according to what the church says, basically helping convert and bring in the teenage children of current members. You can get married and start a marriage ministry. Of course, you have to remember that dating in both the ICOC and ICC are both strictly controlled. You can't do either one without being shunned by the church, without approval of some type of leadership. And it's a little bit more strict these days in the International Christian Churches than the International Churches of Christ, though. But still, it is control. All the marriages are practically arranged. And the third thing, of course, is you can go out and lead another ICOC church on the campus ministry. So apparently, from these examples, this is the exhaustive list of what the Holy Spirit can do with you if you're part of an ICOC or ICC church, which in classic Christianity, there's so much more than just these limited roles. But of course, their ultimate goal and purpose in life is to go out and make disciples, to recruit people to the church. And of course, the campus students, the ones who have gotten through the campus ministry, are very good at doing that.
He loves the underdog. He loves taking something small and exploding it. We saw this in the scriptures. He could do it here in Sinclair University. Yeah. Amen.
Well, first of all, this guy is not at a Sinclair University. Are you still thinking about whether this guy is from the ICOC or ICC? Well, I'll give you the answer here. The answer will come up here in a little while. But notice that about another common dynamic of focusing on a small campus ministry and trying to make it grow. I saw an advertisement the other day for a campus minister from the Denver Church of Christ on the ICOC side at the University of Colorado Boulder for 10 college students. 10 in their ministry. And there's so many other Christians and so many other ministries on that campus that they have to have their own campus minister on that campus for just their 10 students. As we've seen in the Mike Patterson program, The Upside Down Revolution, both the ICOC and the ICC campus ministries don't play very well with other campus ministries on their campus. Now, the next clip is our campus minister giving his interpretation of the story of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Now, I did an in-depth analysis of this on my X-Radio blog, the corresponding blog for this podcast, which I'll give the URL for at the end of the show here. Now, listen to what he thinks the bottom line is for the story of the rich young ruler.
You know, Jesus poured out a different kind of vision, a vision that required him to drop everything and follow him.
Again, in the ICOC-ICC McInnes dynamic, you have to give up everything, including relationships, romantic relationships, relationships with your family, relationships with your friends, time, energy, your car, your resources, everything, so you can give it to the church. Not to God, but give it in service to the church. Now, after some additional studies, I've come to discover that the deeper meaning of the rich young ruler wasn't about him just necessarily giving up something and following Jesus. It was himself lacking God's grace and him wanting to justify himself and his self-righteousness with his works and his deeds and what he does. In fact, that also makes sense if you look afterwards when his disciples say, "Hey, how in the world, if this guy can't be saved, how can we be saved?" And obviously the apostles didn't have a whole lot of, well, most of them didn't have a whole lot of money or didn't have a whole lot of possessions or a whole lot of fame. And speaking of power and money and fame,
when you give up your life for him completely, he will hold his promise by blessing them with far more success than you can ever imagine through relationships, through homes, through jobs, through security.
Sure, they'll be blessed with relationships, homes, jobs, and security, but only within the context of the church. Any of these earned or worked on outside of the church is just plainly frowned upon. And you have to rely on the church, you have to rely on their doctrine and their discipling to actually find what they claim to be true happiness and true success. But ultimately, it's those people who get on the pyramid of power and become higher level leaders actually find the success. All right. Have you decided this is an ICOC or ICC campus minister? Or what church or what city they're preaching at? Well, it's time for our campus minister to reveal himself.
The Holy Spirit is working and searching to touch someone so he can use that man or woman to change the world. The harvest is plentiful here in the state of Ohio, in the city of Dayton.
Ladies and gentlemen, this did not happen in New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Phoenix, Denver, or one of the major United States cities. It happened in a medium-sized city, Dayton, Ohio, at the ICOC church there, the Dayton Church of Christ, which signed the unity proposal, has about 46 members, according to Disciples Today, the church locator on there. Apparently, from my reconnaissance, they have maybe about 5 to 10 college campus students. So that's a lot for a church of 46 people, relatively. They have 3 college campuses. Apparently, the University of Dayton, Wright State University, and Sinclair Community College. Not Sinclair University, as our campus minister put it. And our campus minister, his name is Kirk Valencia, and he is a campus minister at the Hampton Roads Church of Christ, an ICOC church, in fact, a new emerging pillar church out of the old American Commonwealth region, ACR, and Hampton Roads, Norfolk, Virginia area, currently led by Mike Fontenot. And apparently Mike Fontenot and the leadership there sent the current leaders in Dayton, Jim and Eleanor Loney, out there to help lead the church. Now, it's curious why they would, a church all the way out in Virginia would want to have an influence on a church of less than 50 people out in the fifth largest city in the state of Ohio. But it's all about reasserting control, at least on the ICOC side, and trying to get their hands on as many college campuses as possible. I'm going to play one more clip from Kirk from previous in the sermon, and it's an omen that everyone listening to my voice should heed, especially if you have a sizable college campus or college campuses in your town.
The harvest is plentiful here in Ohio. Back in Virginia, there was a day, and there will be a day again, where Ohio was the fruit of leadership for all the churches all over the world. I've heard great things about the University of Cincinnati, Ohio State. I mean, I've heard great stories. They were repeated, and they will repeat again. But who is going to take the challenge?
They are absolutely determined to take the best and brightest young minds on the college campuses, manipulate them, apply thought reform and brainwashing techniques along with their perverted gospel to not only bring them into the ICOC or ICC churches, but to turn them into leaders who will go out and control many, many, many more people. Ohio State and the University of Cincinnati, as far as I can tell by my research, they have contributed, like Kirk said, many leaders to the ICOC and ICC churches across many, many decades, the last 40 years or so. One of their most recent converts from Ohio, who is now leading a church, is DJ and Casey Commisford, who both came out of the ICOC in Ohio and are now leading the Empire City International Christian Church that was planted by Kit McKean's group a couple of months ago. So this is still going on. And as Kirk mentioned, who will take the challenge? I will take the challenge of helping defend these college students and any other group from being recruited and manipulated and drawn into these toxic cults. I'll be back to finish everything up right after this.
Revealing
the cult!
X Radio.
And that was our first episode for 2009. Hope everyone enjoyed it. I have the more detailed analysis of the story of the rich young ruler, among many other things, on the X Radio blog, xray342radio.blogspot.com. That's xray342radio.blogspot.com. And you can also email me, and I'll let my producer, Terry, go through my emails here. He loves getting the emails. xray342radio@gmail.com. That's xray342radio@gmail.com. All right, everyone, take care out there, and I'll see you next time here on X Radio.
Only committed to freeing those trapped in the keenest churches.
The only true members of God's visible church are those who are totally committed Christians.
With a fiery passion.
Let's burn down the church.
This is X Radio.
What are you on?
Spiritual pornography for your ears.
Because that's what Christianity's all about.